stay where you are. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. I like that. Stay where you are. Boy, you're so decisive and strong.
You like
and
it, Paul?
Powerful. Wow.
You like that stuff?
Wow. Boy, I'm shivering in my boots here.
Well, this is a common.
Excuse me, you scared me so much, I have to go to the men's room. I'll be right back.
I have to tell you something. I noticed that every time I open up the radio show, you jump.
I know.
Did you know that?
Why? I know. I don't know. You scare me.
I have you on tape jumping.
Well, anyway,
that was
welcome,
Dr.
everybody.
Palmer. I'm Anthony Chiffo, and now they call us the Bob and Ray Show.
Never. Monsignor Vlorn called us that. That was funny. We were listeners. We were on his television show, and he called us Bob and Ray. I don't know. Are you Bob or are you Ray?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Which one is Bob and which one is Ray? But we'll get that straightened out as we go along.
And we have a very different kind of program today. We prayed about it and we thought about it, and really, we're going to be focusing on a central belief of Catholics, and that is that Jesus is really and truly present in the Eucharist that we receive at Mass.
Yes, but you know what, John? I'm just thinking, let's go back to its origin.
Sure.
Let's go back to what? Holy Thursday.
Okay.
Isn't that when the true presence of the Eucharist was created by Jesus?
Yeah.
When he says, this is my body which I'll be given up to you.
Yeah.
This is my blood which I'll be given. Do this in memory of me.
Yeah.
That was the start of the gift from Jesus of the Holy Eucharist.
Yes, and it's really very much scripturally based.
Yeah.
And this week, in all of the Gospels, at our Masses in the Catholic Church, Jesus is teaching those who are listening to him about the Eucharist, about true presence. And listeners, what we're going to do is have Tony read the scriptural passage, and then maybe we'll talk about it, and we ask you, think along with us. See to what extent you follow what Jesus is saying. What do you say, Tony?
I agree. I just want to preface that about these week's readings. This week's readings was, in my estimation, fascinating.
It really
was. Because it all had the theme of the real presence of the Eucharist. In the Gospels, Jesus actually reveals that not only has he come down from heaven as God's gift, but in his love, he gives us his gift, himself, in his body and his blood, as his personal gift to us. And I think that's so beautiful.
It really is, and it's not a remembrance service. We're not remembering something that happened.
No.
It's something that is actually occurring on the altar at every Mass.
Right.
And in our religion, we call that the miracle of transubstantiation.
Exactly.
Where bread and wine are changed, and the word is substantively changed in substance to the body and the blood and the soul and divinity of Jesus the Messiah. That's what our church teaches. But go back to the scripture.
Okay, I just want to mention one more thing about this, the scriptures for the week. So what these scriptures are doing, it's telling us that Jesus' gift is really a gift of eternal life.
Yeah.
Eternal life. And it's not only meant to take him in body and soul into your body and soul, but to adore him and to pay worship to him at adoration. So let's get on
with the
readings. I think, we're going to skip around. We're going to start on last Tuesday's reading.
Good, let's go through them, because a few days were really powerful readings.
Yes. And so, on Tuesday, in the Gospel, last Tuesday's Gospel, the crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you?" Doesn't everybody ask that?
Yeah.
What can you do? So what's so great about you? Then say that. I'm just adding that up. And Jesus answered, our ancestors ate manna in the desert. Yes, and that's so true. That was in the Old Testament.
Sure,
right?
That was Moses.
And Moses gave them manna to eat. God gave it to Moses, and Moses facilitated it.
Yeah.
All right. So he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And gives us this bread always. Jesus then said to them again, I am the bread of life.
Wow.
I am life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst.
The bread of life. Isn't that unbelievable? He's also the blood of life, too.
Yeah, because his body comes in two species, the body and blood of Christ. And I understand either species. You can receive both, or you can take one.
Yeah.
Either way. But the main thing is we got Jesus, and we're able to receive him in our hearts.
Scott Hahn said, a lot of churches have the menu, but we have the meal.
Yes, and that's so true.
Yeah.
Isn't that so true?
Yeah. And, you know, how do you feel after you've had a hamburger and fries and a Coke? Don't you get some energy?
Absolutely.
You know, and when I received the Eucharist, many times I'm a mess inside. I have all sorts of negative thoughts going on in my head or problems I'm dealing with or whatever. And somehow, during the time after I receive the Eucharist, I change. I get peace.
That's right. And so, in terms of the real presence, isn't that so true that you're getting peace in your body once you receive him? Because you're opening your heart and he's coming into your heart? And we know, because he's told us.
Experientially, we know, internally.
Yes, that his body and blood is within us, in our hearts.
And you know what gets me, too, just to think a little bit further about it? If I eat that hamburger and I drink that Coke, it's mixing in my body just like any food would. But when I take the Eucharist, and if there's wine, which is now his blood, and I drink that, for the few moments afterwards, his divinity is mixing within my humanity. Wow.
Yes, but you know what's the unfortunate thing, John? And it's really a little hurtful in my heart, that not everyone actually has accepted that when we receive the Holy Eucharist, we're actually receiving Jesus in our hearts.
I know. And they ask, how can you prove it? I remember in the scripture from earlier in the week, the people who were listening to him said, who are you to say that? We know your mother and your father. How could you ever say something like that?
That's what they said in this week's scripture.
I know. And they really came down. How can you prove it? You're looking for a sign? Well, I'm giving you a sign. Here is my body and here is my blood. And well, you give me a piece of bread and a cup of wine.
Yeah.
Well, no. Yeah. I'm telling you, once that is transformed through the miracle of transubstantiation, that's me. You have other scripture, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you shall not have true life, new life in you.
And you know what? That's why it's so important that when, and of course the host, which is the true body of Jesus, is kept in the tabernacle, and when we receive communion, that's why it has to be done with reverence. It has to be done with love. It has to be done with purity of heart, because
he's real,
he's there.
And you have to be in a state of grace to receive it.
Yes.
And if you're not, then do it spiritually until you are.
Can I tell you one more thing?
Sure.
I like surveys. I do surveys, you know, I study and stuff like that. But I read surveys, and there was a survey that asked the question, if you had to invite one person for dinner for 1 hour, who would you invite? Who would you invite to have real dinner, one person? And the result was, phenomenally, Jesus Christ.
Sure.
Well, so there's an earning to have Jesus, the real presence of Jesus. It's there. The people have to realize it's there. You don't have to yearn. All you have to do is be pure of heart.
Yeah.
And receive him.
And you know, one time in prayer, just to emphasize the real presence, I received the words, you know, you consume me physically, but what you don't know is as often as you do that, my love consumes you. I take over in you, and I change you. And I also change the way you think, the way you feel, the way you speak, and the way you act. Now, you can look back in your life, and I can look back in my life. 10, 20 years ago, I'm a different person. And by going to daily communion,
yeah, you are.
My life was changed.
Yeah.
And it isn't changed out of fear. It's just that I don't want to hurt Jesus.
I'm a totally different person.
Yeah.
I really am.
Thank God.
Yeah. I went in stages. I went, you know, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, and then I went into the bad, and then the Blessed Mother just brought me into Jesus.
What else you got? You got another?
Oh, there's another one. I mean, this
all week long he's been teaching.
All week long he's been hammering away. I'm the real body and blood. I'm the true body and blood. On Wednesday, in the gospel reading, Jesus said to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I tell you that although you have seen me, you did not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me.
Yeah.
And so there again, there's another invitation. It's an invitation of Jesus to come to him. I mean, like, how blessed are we? He goes further. He wants to become our best friend. And isn't that awesome that our best friend's Father is the creator of the universe?
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Miraculous.
Unbelievable.
Miraculous.
Miraculous. That's the word. Yeah. Yes, it's miraculous.
And you know, somewhere else in Scripture, I mean, I'm not a big Scripture person, to say the least.
You're a good person, though.
Yeah, but we'll worry about that.
I think.
But let me just add something, though, too. He said at one time, and he kind of is hinting at it in the words that you just read, you see me, so you believe in me, but blessed are those who do not see and yet believe.
Yes, and isn't that so true?
You know, because when you receive Eucharist, it's just a piece of bread and a sip of wine. And that's what we see. But we don't see what happens when the hamburger inside of us spreads out in our bodies.
Yes. And I just got a thought. Can I mention something about when we receive?
You had a thought?
Yes.
Oh, sometimes wonderful.
That happens. That's because I'm hanging out. You know, I told you, my...
Don't get upset now. I can see you getting upset.
My kids seem to think I hang out with you too much now.
Yeah, well, I've always thought that.
All right.
What was your thought? Now, well, I didn't lose it.
No. That's why when we get up to receive Holy Communion, we need to receive him with reverence. That's why the Catholic Church advises us to, when we get up to the Eucharistic minister or to the priest to receive communion, we should do it with humility.
Bow down.
And bow your head. Some people kneel, and I understand that's okay to kneel, but it disrupts like the flow sometimes. But bowing your head when he says the body of Christ and you say amen and bow your head, that's showing reverence.
And some people receive with their hand and some with their mouth.
Yes.
And they found that some people who receive with their hand don't really understand, and they found hosts buried in the missalettes.
Good, another point. Yes, another point. Just so you know, I'm only saying this because sometimes I feel like getting up on the pulpit and telling and saying this, but now I got a radio audience also.
Oh, yeah, right.
But just so you know, when you're given the host, if you receive it in the hand, you must put it in your mouth.
Immediately.
Immediately. There are people that walk away with it in their hand. And when that happens, we come after you, by the way. So
in
don't
some
do
places,
that.
Yeah.
We stop you. And if or someone will stop you, because you need to put the host into your mouth in front of the Eucharistic minister. So just so.
Yeah.
These are all little things, but the main point is this is the body and this is the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe it's the true presence. We need to act like that.
You know, and people ask me, how do you know that that really is Jesus? And maybe listeners, I'm sure if you're still listening to us, you're asking the same question. How do you really know that what you receive is truly the body and the blood and the soul and the divinity of Jesus? And I tell them, I don't know how to explain it. And I probably can never convince anyone because it's internal and personal to me. But I feel
how
peace.
Do you know?
I feel peace. I get comforted. And some people go back to their seats and cry and whatever, but for me, I just get a sense of inner peace that I can't get anywhere else.
Absolutely. But it even maybe goes deep in that. It's peace. It's you get the sense that of endurance with him. You get the sense that this is your way to eternal life. There's so many things that you get. And you asked a good question. Why should we believe that the species, the bread and the wine, are the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Why should we believe that? You know why I believe it? Because my best friend told me that.
Yeah.
Jesus tells us, this is my body, this is my blood, I've given up to you.
Well, that's the gift of faith, huh?
Yes.
We got a couple of more quotes?
Sure. How about Thursday?
Okay, let's hear Thursday. Because all week long,
yeah,
and he does the IMs, I think,
yes,
on Thursday.
Yes, this is all, yes. All right. Jesus said to the crowds, I'm reading more than I should be reading, but I just got to think that I want to read it. Jesus said to the crowds, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me, drew me, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, thou shalt be taught by God. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. That's Jesus, by the way. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that no one can eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh for the life of the world.
Amen.
You need any more than that coming out of the mouth of Jesus?
But some people do. Some people do. You know I go...
Yeah, you mean like Thomas.
Yeah.
Like doubting Thomas.
Well, I'm a doubting Thomas in many
yes,
ways myself.
You are.
But you know I go and pray every day, and yes. I listen. And years ago, when I first started writing what I would hear internally, I got this little letter. I'd like to read it now, Tony.
Great, yes.
And it's basic. It's right on what we're talking about. I am not just a piece of bread and a cup of wine. I am not just the dead object of a remembrance service. When you eat this bread and drink this wine, you are consuming the miracle of salvation. I am not to be ignored. I am not to be ridiculed by non-believers. They will wallow in their despair and their emptiness for ignoring or ridiculing my true presence. It is easy to joke about that of which you have no knowledge. Doing so in ignorance is forgivable. Doing so in full knowledge is a sacrilege. I am fully alive in the Eucharist. I am reborn, so to speak, each time there is a sacrifice of the Mass. Night and day I am born again and again through the power of my most Holy Spirit. Night and day in my real presence, I am able to share the love between my Father and myself through the power of my most Holy Spirit. Lives are changed through faith-filled reception of my real presence in the Eucharist. Healing occurs on so many levels that are impossible to enumerate. All you who are desolate and lonely, come to me in my real presence. I will heal your desolation and loneliness by taking up residence in your heart and showering you with my sanctifying grace. O you who find life empty and unsatisfying, come to me in my real presence. I will fill the void in your life with the sanctifying grace of my eternal love. O you who have drifted from me through sin, come to my real presence in perpetual adoration. I will light the path to reconciliation with me, and my grace will make alienation intolerable. It was once said, "Where are my armies? My friends, they are legion. They are the billions of hearts that beat in rhythm with my sacred heart. They are the billions of souls who seek me with pure hearts and do my will. The wave of my eternal love circles the world daily as more and more receive my spiritually redeeming life in my true presence in the Eucharist. There is enough power in the hearts of my prayer warriors to send rockets to the sun and back. There is enough power in my grace unleashed each day to conquer the world 10 times over. Thus, listeners, come to me. Kneel before my true presence with a sincere and open heart. I promise you, it will be the first step in a life-changing experience. Love, Jesus."
That was beautiful. That was beautiful, John.
I got that, Tony, when I was doubting that what we're talking about was real.
What's he saying?
He's saying, "I'm alive."
What's he saying to you?
"I'm alive. Come on into my world. Join me. Let me change you. Let me take over in you. Let me fill you. Let me resurrect you in the only love that always is. And I can do it. But you got to come to me. You got to say, I'd like to believe even though I doubt."
And how do you go to him?
Prayer first.
Prayer, receiving the sacrament of Holy Eucharist. How about adoration?
Sure.
Isn't he there, body and blood, at adoration? Don't we go to adoration to visit him?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many beautiful things that he gives us.
And people may not know adoration is that there's a piece of Eucharist, yes, his body and blood.
And that's
in
him.
In a monstrance, yes. And you go and sit before. And I know when I go there, I get inner peace. I really do.
Absolutely.
And there are forces that fight me going there. I get that every morning. And sometimes I'm showering and I hear, oh, look at the hero. He's going to go and pray before the true presence. Oh, isn't he special?
Yeah, and sometimes...
You know, and mocking me all the way over.
And sometimes you get, do you really have time to do that? Yeah. Don't you have to do something else? Do you really have time?
Oh,
it comes
all
the time. Yeah.
You can squeeze it in later on.
Yes, but the evil one doesn't like that. But you know what? Too bad, because we have the ultimate weapon for the evil one. We got the rosary, we got the Blessed Mother, and we got Jesus.
You know what, though? I think there's a song that we can play now called Eat This Bread. This is an invitation to all of our listeners. Talking about stuff that people can't see, and we're talking about stuff that people can't touch, but you know, we're talking about impossibility.
You know, that's a great point, but if you be patient, I would like, I'm going to read Friday, but I also would like to read something on Saturday.
Sure.
That touches on that subject.
Good.
You know what? This is so great. I love going through the scriptures because it's our foundation. It's our basis.
Why do you think I asked you to read all these words? You're right. A lector, and you're a scriptural. I am so bad with scripture. Yeah. You want to hear a story before you do that reading? When I was first baptized in the Spirit, right? Wow, I heard all this beautiful music, and I would say, whoever wrote those words, they were really something. And then I found out the music was all based on scriptural words. I didn't know. That's how bad I am with scripture. That's why I asked you to do that.
Well, I'm not good, but for some reason,
you're better than I am.
I have something in my heart about scriptures. You know, I give Bibles away.
I know.
Like that, and I love giving Bibles away. So if anyone wants a Bible, just email us at listenup1240@aol.com. I'd be happy to send you a free complimentary Bible.
And if anybody wants anything like that letter I just read, they can go on holyspiritwithin.net.
Yeah.
And it's under the title of the book is True Presence. And there are about 35 books, e-books out there, free, filled with stuff like
they're
that.
They're great. And when you read them, you think that Jesus, or that they were written especially for you, whoever reads them. And if you don't believe that, if you don't think that, let me know. Because I haven't spoken to anyone that doesn't feel that was written for them, with them in mind.
And they're meditations. We make no claims for anything other than that. They're just meditations. Go ahead with your scripture.
I love them. By the way, you know I use them, right? You know I use them in my talks and stuff, right?
I know.
But that's not plagiarism. Okay, on Friday's reading, he said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I have life because of the Father. So also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. Mm-hmm. Do you need it in any clearer language? Do you need to get wrapped in the head with it? Like, hey, come on, here it is from his mouth.
But it's hard to believe because he was just a man. That's what people would say. We knew his mother and father. He was just a man. Why should we believe that this is true?
Well, you know, it's hard to believe. But he's asking us to believe. You know something? For some reason, somehow, some way, if you say to him, make me believe. Show me how I can believe.
Yeah,
he will.
That's right.
He'll give you peace like he gives you. He'll give you a sign. He'll do something. But just make the first step. Make the first move. He's there. You know what? My life became complicated, but it became so easy since I turned it all and surrendered to Jesus. I really did.
Yeah. So. And he also gives you wisdom sometimes, because I have my lockstep way of doing things. You know, somebody does this, I'm going to do that. Somebody does this, I'm going to do that. You know, I knee-jerk jerk response, whatever.
Yes. You're controlling.
Yeah, and then I am. But then he...
But I love you anyway.
But he'll say, now why don't you try doing it this way, John? And then I said, I don't like that, but he does, and say that, and when I try, the results are different, and he's teaching, that Holy Spirit who is in us, is teaching us truth, and the Eucharist is the nourishment for that Spirit.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's nourishment. It's the everything. That's a great word. I love that word. I just made it up. It's the everything.
Sure.
It gives you everything. It's what you've been looking for all your life.
Well, I deal with a lot of people with a lot of problems.
Going to cost you $50 if this is a commercial.
No commercial.
Okay.
But most of it is because in their heads they have things so bent out of proportion that they can't see truth. But when you tell them, if you go to the Eucharist and let truth come into you physically, like in Paul, the scales and your eyes will be cleared away.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you have another?
Yeah, I'd like to read.
What day are we up to?
We're up to Saturday, believe it or not.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The week just flew.
It flew by. And that's the way it is with Scripture. The weeks flew by. You get a message. Tells you something a little bit about the Old Testament, the New Testament. It connects the dots, so to speak. Okay, so Saturday's Gospel. I'm going to read it a little bit from the beginning. And by the way, all these readings are from John 6. This whole week's readings are John 6. They vary a little bit in the verse, but John 6 from about 43 on to 60, 66, you'll get these readings. And you'll get the true presence of Jesus' body and blood. Okay, so this is John's Gospel, chapter 6. Many of the disciples of Jesus who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept this?"
Yeah.
Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Do not believe. Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the ones who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer walked with him. Jesus said to the 12, his original disciples, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God."
But that's what happens if you persist in pursuing Jesus.
Yes.
And you're not just Jesus, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in an internal relationship of love. And the Eucharist is the door opener in our hearts. And once we are cleaned through reconciliation and then go to the Eucharist, that Eucharist fits into the lock that's in our hearts, and Jesus comes in and opens us up.
Absolutely. And those, you know what stuck in my brain and my heart? Those, there were flocks of them, those that turned around and went home because they lost their belief. I pray for those people that are out there now that had the opportunity, that are born cradle Catholics, and I envision them in this reading turning around and going their way. And I'm saying, I'm praying for you people, because you need to come back to Jesus. He is the answer.
And they don't go alone. Everyone gets a guardian angel, and that guardian angel is with us forever. I just heard a CD where they talked about when the angels were created, all of them were created. And our guardian angel, believe it or not, waited for us to be born. And he walks with us.
Yes.
Or she walks with us. You know.
So. And they all have names. And if you ask your guardian angel your name and keep asking and keep asking, eventually you'll get the name.
I got the name of mine. You know what mine is? It's Theocrates.
Oh, that's a very nice name.
Very nice.
I got mine.
Go ahead.
Raphael.
Oh, that's big.
But it's not the big Raphael.
Oh, you got another.
It's just the Raphael.
But you know, one time in prayer, because I do get these words, and some of them are so funny. And one time I heard, you know, "You're so messed up, Palmer, that Theocrates is sitting over in the corner, mumbling to us, Jesus, he will never learn. He will never learn. He's so thick-headed and stubborn and controlling. He will never learn. He's got to have everything spelled out for him like a Philadelphia lawyer. What are we going to do with a character like this, Jesus?
You see, that's your confirmation that you're dick-headed and controlling.
I know. But you know what they also said on that disc that I listened to? It's from Lighthouse Media.
Yes,
and
great.
It's on Angels. It's wonderful, wonderful.
They're great.
And they said, I got to get the thing I had in mind. Well, first of all, they say that there are choirs of angels, 9 choirs. And there's like a rank order civilization that's out there. And you have seraphim and cherubim.
Yes.
And you have all of them.
Very good.
And the seraphim, now this is what I can remember. The seraphim, all they do is contemplate God. And they see, all angels see the face of the Father, I guess, face of God. But, and they are with God and they praise him. And then the author said, isn't that a great promotion, if you want, a commercial for going to adoration? Because when we go to adoration, all we do is meditate, contemplate, and praise God.
Yes.
And you're doing what the highest order of angels do,
right.
Seraphim. I like that.
Isn't that a great way to praise God at adoration and the real presence of Jesus being there? I mean, that's amazing that we have that opportunity to do this.
Yeah, and also, as long as I'm talking about the angels for a few minutes, the author, whose name I can't remember, said that Mary is the highest point of humanity because she was born without sin, and she can touch the angels. That she's just one step below the angels, if you want, and she is our leader, and then the angels have an order. They have almost like an army out there.
Mm-hmm.
We just ask, where are your
Absolutely.
Armies?
You know, I just got the thought, maybe next week I'll do for the saints, I'll do the angels.
Why not?
I'll do St. Michael and St. Raphael and a few of the angels. How's that?
That sounds good to me.
All right, people, would you like that? Would you like to learn a little bit about the angels? Would you like to learn a little bit more about Raphael and St. Michael, who I know many people pray to for protection?
Do you know what I found out about St. Michael?
What?
The archangels are 7th in the list of the choirs of angels. They're down in the pecking order. And then I said, how did Michael get moved up? Well, evidently, what this man said, and I assumed it's church teaching, and I looked on the catechism, and it's in there. Michael was so outspoken against Lucifer that God the Father picked him up and put him in charge of all the angels.
Yes. Yeah, I just going to say that. He's the one that actually got Lucifer, fought Lucifer out of
You fire. Know, if we keep on going this way, we're going to turn into spirits.
I don't know what we're going to turn into. But we're moving. By the way, let me just say this. In these readings, Jesus is actually giving us eternal life through his words, with his flesh and his blood. And he's offered in the Eucharist. And isn't that so beautiful? The kiss of eternal life is far more than we could ever hope to deserve, and exactly what we receive. No poolside rescue or any other recorded miracle can outpace the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Of our souls, his words are spirit and life, and through his body and blood he gives us the Holy Spirit and he gives us eternal life.
And you know, just to push it even further, because you know I like to push things further.
Yes, I certainly do.
The whole purpose of coming to Eucharist is that we be changed internally so that the miracle of transubstantiation that occurs on the altar, we hopefully would have as our own personal intimate miracle, where we are transformed somehow into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus, not totally, but we still have our own humanity, and we are there as witnesses to the truth.
That's a great point, John. That's a beautiful. It's not great, only great. It's beautiful. It's the fact that Jesus makes himself available to us individually, personally. And all we got to do is open our arms and accept him.
And we are made in his image and likeness. And Eucharist is the nourishment that will help us change ourselves from the way we are into his image and his likeness. It's such a powerful, powerful truth. It's not even a tool. It's a truth. You know, Trevor, are you there? Can you put on number 3? Because the song here is, I myself am the bread of life. And this is the goal of what we're talking about, to get transformed into his image and his likeness.
Yeah.
your reading. Somehow or other, okay, I got that sense that you wanted to do that. Yes. Go ahead.
I would like to just share something. I had originally planned that I was going to feature Sister Josepha Mendonez, who has had special devotion to Jesus, and but you know, time doesn't prevail. But there is something in there that I do want to mention, that on a visit to Sister by Jesus, purportedly on February 25th, and he visited her in her cell, and he said to her that my heart could no longer restrain its love for mankind, nor bear the thought of leaving them on my day of crucifixion. So to prove my tender love for them, and in order to remain always with them till time has ceased to be, I resolve to become their food, their support, their life, their all, their everything. Could I but not make known to all souls the loving sentiments which my heart overflowed at my Last Supper, when I instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist? My glance ranged across the ages, and I saw the multitudes who would receive my body and blood, and all the good it would effect. How many hearts I saw that from its contact would bud forth virginity. How many others that it would awaken to deeds of charity and zeal and good works. How many martyrs of love did I see? How many souls who have been infected by sin and the violence of passion would come to their allegiances and recover their spiritual energy by partaking of this bread and blood of life. Who can describe the overwhelming emotions that filled my soul? Joy, love, tenderness, but alas, bitter sorrow also. I shall continue, Josepha. Go now in my peace, console me, and do not be afraid. The wellspring of my blood is not exhausted, and it will cleanse all souls.
Wow. And you know, even as you were reading that, I have a sense, and you make of it what you want, of words that are coming from whatever source you want, but I believe it's within my heart. And it's this: listeners are two friends. Anthony and John have tried to spend and have spent an hour talking about true presence of Jesus, our Son, in the Eucharist. And you may or may not have been able to last for the entire program. But my words are very, very, very clear. Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you shall not have eternal life in you. And that's the bottom line on this whole program. You all have a free will. You all know whether or not you are walking with me or with just you alone. I tell you now quite clearly, unless you become my partner in love, you will never know peace. You will never know the power of our true love in you. And he's saying, we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are relationship in love eternal, and we invite you into our relationship. Won't you consider stepping forward? Won't you consider receiving Jesus the Messiah physically in the body and the blood that is given as part of the miracle of transubstantiation at Mass? Say yes. Step over our threshold into the world of impossibility. Say yes. Freely choose to become one with us in our love. If you make that simple yes in your heart, we will change you forevermore. Amen.
Beautiful.
Make of those words beautiful. Whatever you want. I know what comes through me, and I have those kinds of things that happen. Make no claims for it, but I know it's the Spirit welling up in me and speaking truth through my own inadequate humanity. And it comes out. I hesitate to do that too much in public because I'm a psychologist and I don't want to be thought of as totally nuts. Even though I really am.
I'll analyze you someday. But John, that was so beautiful. But the message, and he's given the message through you. He's asking or giving an invitation for all those of us that do not believe, all those of us that have turned away.
Yep.
He's asking through you for them to reconsider and come back to him. That was beautiful, John.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I don't know how much we've gotten across to people. I really don't know. But we hope that somehow or other they do learn that from this program, they're destined to become like Jesus.
Yes. While this song is going on, we say a contemplative prayer for our listeners and for our petitions?
Sure.
It's okay.
Jesus, we ask you to enter into the hearts of every listener. And we ask you to touch that part of them that doesn't believe that you can help them. For those with cancer and those going through divorce and those in terrible pain, step in, Lord. Give them your bread of life. Transform them. Transform them.
And we thank you, Jesus.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you, listeners.
That the world might live.
Not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.